Hi, I'm Steve.
How's it? I'm Samon.
And welcome to the Business and Beers podcast.
Welcome back to all our loyal Business and Beers podcast listeners. We're super stoked to have Honor Dalt back on for our second episode. Just to recap, previous one, chatted with Honor. He was still a Boksburg boot, then he moved to the Bedford View Gay. And on this episode, he's now moved to South Africa version 2.0, aka Australia. Honor, welcome back. You know, super stoked to have you on. And just carrying on from our previous episode, you know, the journey, you're on an aeroplane now, you've landed up in Australia, setting yourself up. You know, how did things go and where did you find yourself?
So I guess first things first, 10 o'clock on a Friday night, you know, you guys are lucky to have me being able to speak so eloquently still.
Good man.
After afternoon of beers. So we get straight into it then. Touched down in Australia. I'd been through an interview process over in South Africa. I was pretty fortunate. Not a lot of people have that. I kind of done a lot of research online, speaking to people on LinkedIn, South Africans that have moved to Perth specifically, where I'm based, and then other SAFers that have moved, you know, to other bigger cities like Sydney and Melbourne. And kind of just wanted to find out like how different it might have been over here, you know, from in my industry specifically. Like I said, applied for roles, interviewed for a couple of them, and then there was one specifically that I went after, and was doing interviews at 4 or 5 a.m. in the morning. I think I did 3 or 4 of them, landed the job, everything was great, you know, sort of a role that I saw as, you know, still on that trajectory of the 10-year plan that sort of lined up. Landed in Australia, I think, if I'm not mistaken, was towards the end of July. I pretty much given myself a week and then went straight into that role. Only to, I guess, discover that as things unfolded, it wasn't, you know, it didn't really pan out, or it wasn't really the role that I felt that we discussed over the 3 or 4 interviews that I had, which is, again, you know, a bit of a shock to the system, catches you off guard. And so 6 weeks into that, I had a discussion with the business owner at the time and just said, I don't think this is working. You've arrived in a new country, you've been here for 6-7 weeks or whatever, and you're making a big decision like that to kind of go, still living on the rand, I suppose, to pull the plug on your job. So that was a pretty big call. Fortunately, in Australia, I guess there is quite a lot of opportunity. Very fortunate over here that we don't have, some of the, you know, the big unemployment stats that, you know, got kind of used to hearing in South Africa. So within a 2-week period, I'd again, been online, found roles that I wanted to apply for, got asked to interview, accepted another role, in a business, again, agency, that I thought would have the right sort of clientele that I wanted to work with, that would give me a good sort of stepping stone into the Perth market. Tough decision for me at that point was everything that I'd always done was to take a step forward. With that specifically, I chose to take a step back. So the original agency that I sort of joined when I landed in Perth was an account director role, and then, you know, I took a step back into an account management role. One of the big realizations there being that, you know, I guess working with somebody that had been in the Perth market, worked in the Australian market, there was something to learn from them. While, you know, you can land up in Australia and everything's, work is work, I guess, there can be differences in those markets.
I think you raise a very valid point, and this is for a lot of people that are, you know, looking to work for companies or working for a boss. A lot of the times, and I think that's something that's really key for me and really been highlighted in what you're saying, is a lot of the times people chase a job and you want to work for that company, but a lot of the times I find that people don't actually look at the clientele that specific company works for. You don't actually look at yourself. You kind of look at great, I need a new job, so I'm going to chase and move to a new company. But I think it's so critical that people actually need to, you know, you need to look at yourself, your own values, your own perspective, and say, well, geez, these are actually people that I want to work for. And I mean, you know, from your experience, do you find that even though you took a step backwards in terms of that, you know, 10-year plan of what you're calling, and you're almost not going, because I think that's the thing, is a lot of people, when you go to a new company, you want to move higher, get a better salary, yeah, move into a better role. But sometimes your plan actually needs you to take a step back, find the company that you really want to work for. Do you find that once you found that company, your output of performance drastically increased as opposed to the first role where things didn't really seem great, if you could call it that?
Yeah, 100%. I think it's just one of those things. You you know, you're kind of happy at work. You want to go to work, right? And like you're saying, it's that output. Like if the extra time needs to be put in, you're happy to put in the extra time. It's all those little things, you know, that don't become. It's not like, oh, you know, this is a bit of a grudge thing, I don't want to do it.
Would you, just really quickly, would you say it was the agencies, because there's two agencies you're working for here, was it the leadership that impacted that, the clients, or your attitude of just moving to a new country?
I think it was probably a bit of a combination of all of those things, to be honest. So I think in that first agency, it was that was probably leadership from the perspective of that business owner had some things happening in their personal life at that particular point in time. I'd obviously just arrived from a new country, I think you know, they obviously had an agenda of how they wanted things to unfold, and I wasn't on that sort of on the same page as them, and it was very difficult to try and I guess align, and hence the discussion. With the second agency, I wouldn't say that the business owner was the strongest leader. But the general manager was somebody that was you know, had a pretty good reputation. I think he'd also been like a professional sportsman or something in his heyday. Something again that I could kind of what's the right word? Not align with, but
relate to maybe.
You know, relate to. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. So you know, just something different, I guess, inside the work environment where it's not all just about good work. You know, again, like I say, being able to relate to a different topic of sport. I think I actually landed on playing some indoor cricket for one of his teams at a point in time too. Yeah, but with that one specifically, again, another lesson learned. You think everything's going swimmingly, only to find out that the agency was actually in trouble. That, you know, even with the clientele and stuff that they had been around in the market, I think at that point in time they'd been around for 12 or 13 years or something. And yeah, when I kind of got wind of that instability, again, my wife being a chartered accountant, had a discussion, said to her, I don't think that this is going somewhere. And it wasn't long after I'd left there that they went into business administration. So I guess sometimes, again, you know, you talk about gut feelings as a business owner, somebody that owns a business, but sometimes being inside a business too, there can be sort of cues and stuff that you can pick up on. And sometimes there's early signs to look out for those. Because, I mean, you'd rather be in a position of strength than a position of weakness. You know, being caught out on the back foot and suddenly you don't have a job, versus being on the front foot, you know, and kind of making the first move.
I think you touch on a point which could kind of be looked at either way, something that's very sensitive, but I think something that people don't speak about. I haven't seen any conversations on LinkedIn, on any social media platforms, but working for somebody else, you kind of put yourself in a vulnerable point of view, where working for another leader or for a boss, that boss has his own vision, own direction, own goals, own strategies and stuff like that. And, you know, working for that person, you kind of see if you can align. And, you know, from what I pick out of it, the first company, you're not in alignment, which means you're not going to be optimizing your performance. Second agency, although not the strongest leader, but you find a lot more alignment so you can optimize. But I think the biggest thing is, and this is something that I think people are not cognizant of, is as a business owner and people working for that place, you know, like you're saying, you work for the agency, and the agency is busy tanking, unfortunately, you working for the agency, that's not your responsibility. If the business is not doing well, you know, that's something that you don't need to take on your shoulders. That's the business owner's responsibility. And I think it's exactly like you say, a lot of the times people have this gut feeling, or, you know, that things are really bad. There might be corruption, there might be underhand dealing, leadership might be treating their staff really bad. And you kind of say, well, sheesh, I've been here for a couple of years, I'm a loyal employee. If this boat is sinking, you know, I need to be like the captain. And I think people don't actually realize that it's okay to not be in alignment. It's okay that your vision and your goals is not the same as the leadership. But it's equally as important that when you come to that realization of there's a misalignment, and you know, you can actually sense that there's bad things happening, you need to jump ship. Like, you have to. It's not only critical for your mental health, your personal health, and also ultimately your success. But you know, what are your thoughts on that? That, because I think we're looking at two different perspectives. You know, my perspective working for a company, where Steve's perspective is actually running the company. You know, for me, if the ship is burning, I'm jumping. Whereas for Steve, if the ship's burning, like, you kind of need to go down with the ship.
Yeah, I was, I guess I was very fortunate at that time when all of that was happening too, because it also, I was working with a startup. You know, they were sort of, didn't have a lot of cash and all that type of thing. So it was really just sort of a small fee every month to be providing sort of consulting and advisory to them and helping them out with some of their marketing and communication efforts. And that was actually a really good distraction at that time. So kind of knowing that this stuff was kind of ticking along, and there was suddenly this, after everything seeming sort of positive and this sort of great energy in the office and all of that, it's funny how something small, one person saying something, it almost starts to just spread. You know, it sort of became a negative environment. But like I said, I was fortunate enough to have this sort of startup environment that I was part of, you know, talking to people in incubators, all that type of thing. And it was great because, like I said, I learned a lot just in that different space again. And that was probably the first time too when I started having to think about, you know, is this something that I can do for myself at some point in time down the track, you know, consult or, you know, provide sort of strategic advice or whatever it might be.
One thing that I want to touch on just very briefly, I mean, it's exactly such a good point, where once negativity starts, it's almost like this wildfire in organizations and places, where one person says something negative, next person latches on, and before you know, it's kind of like this pandemic, you know, second COVID negativity pandemic that's happened. Do you believe that the situation would have been different in the company, and this is something that we touched on before, is if there's transparency? Because I think sometimes what happens is the ship sinking, everybody can see the ship sinking, but nobody's saying, like the captain saying, hey guys, we're still going forward. It's like, yeah, we're going forward, but the ship's sinking. Do you feel that if the leadership had more transparency, that maybe the situation would have been different, maybe the attitude of the people would have been different?
Yeah, I think so. I think if, because it would have been, I don't think it was just transparency with, you know, the staff. If there was some degree of transparency with clients and all that type of thing, look, I know there's going to be risk involved with that, but it's kind of trying to paint a picture of everything's okay and everything really isn't okay. And then, like you say, it just kind of festers and it gets worse and worse and worse and starts to snowball. So I think if they had, you know, kind of just sat the staff down at some point in time, again, not having to disclose everything, but just had an honest discussion about where things are at, but have a plan, okay? It's kind of like transparency doesn't, and the focus doesn't always have to be on the negative and all the bad stuff. It's okay, this is the situation we're in, but as a business and as business leaders, this is the plan that we've kind of, we've got in place to get ourselves out of this situation. Are you on board? You know, get everybody's buy-in.
Yeah, and I think just from a business owner's perspective, I think it's one thing for me is accountability. I think as leadership within the business, if they'd taken accountability, like you said, if there's transparency with the clients, with your team, as a leader, you then held accountable. And that's the thing, is when we chatted to Grant a few episodes ago, you know, like their business was going down, but he played open cards and he took accountability as the CEO of the business to make and say, well, listen, I made this bad decision and this is the repercussions of it. And if your team backs you and gives ideas, or how can we fix it, I think then you would have stayed. So Arno, tell us what happened next. You've obviously just had two great agencies. You were involved a little bit in the startup. What happened with Arno next?
So off the back end of that agency, finally, you know, got into an agency that was really good, but very focused on digital search specifically. And what was great about that was learning about how search was sort of implemented, worked in the Australian market. That's been a big highlight. I guess that was one of the big highlights for me since moving to Australia. I guess that was a business where the agency's grown. They've taken time to grow. They had, monthly meetings with the staff, spoke about, where the finances, all that type of thing. There was always that level of transparency that wasn't there that we just spoke about previously. And I was there, I think it was a good couple of years. Worked on some really great clients, big national brands, all that type of thing, and really started to build my network, I guess, here in Perth, but also in Australia. Kind of then, got to a point where, all right, now I need to be challenged. I need to have that difficult discussion about growth. I enjoy the work environment, I enjoy the culture, but what's next for me? I've put in the hard yards here. I've delivered, I've got a good working relationship with the guys. But because the agency was so good, the leadership team that they had in place had been there for a long time and nobody was going anywhere. So that can be another difficult discussion, I guess, in your career is to talk to somebody. And when your career path in a particular business, you can't see that next step. You've got to kind of, have a discussion and see what the next steps are going to look like.
Arno, one thing we can definitely say, while all your agencies or career paths you've been quite open and honest with your manager or boss. That doesn't happen often. Can you give one or two tips to our listeners how, if they are feeling right now that they don't have a good career trajectory or they can't move up in their current role, how can they approach that situation with their boss? You seem to have hit down to a T.
Yeah, I think the big thing over there is just back yourself, If you know that, I guess there's also a saying that not everybody, you can try and make yourself invaluable to the business, blah, all that type of stuff, right? But the biggest thing is just back yourself. If you know that if you've done a good job, that you're a great employee, remember, for a business, it's always difficult to replace somebody. If you're a good employee, you're doing your job well and all that type of thing, it's going to be more stressful for them to have to go out and find somebody else and then run the risk of that person not being the right person again and getting stuck in that type of cycle. So back yourself to have the discussion. Start informally, if that's what it is. Ask your manager to go, have a coffee or whatever it is and say, hey, look, I've been in this role for X amount of time. This is kind of my thoughts. These are my ambitions. These are my plans. Where's the business going? What are the opportunities look like for me? When you're in an agency, that can be it could be difficult if the agency's not experiencing growth. If there's a lot of growth, new roles become available, which is great. But if you're in a corporate, what can be great about working in a corporate is that you can be seconded, if it's a big business, into different departments and that type of thing. And that's where that sort of discussion can go. So yeah, just back yourself off to have that initial discussion, but make sure that it is the right time to have it.
Yeah, I think, and sometimes people don't realize that. I was actually listening to a really good podcast, a sales podcast, and I think sometimes people also need to have that transparency with a management level. And this sales podcast, he said something so profound, which, only really struck me a couple of hours after I listened to it. But he said, just because you one of the best salespeople in the organization doesn't mean you're going to be good management. And I think having that transparency and open discussion with the management team or the leadership team, if they can give you that clarity, because you raise a very good point there. I mean, let's say I'm a salesperson, I'm bringing in the company five times what anybody else in the organization is bringing. You essentially seen as a cash cow for the organization. You're doing exceptionally well in your job. And I think sometimes people don't realize that is, you know, for example, now I want to move into a management level, and until you get that transparency and actually understand what the management or the organization's thinking is and get that clarity, you know, it might now become a 3-year plan to move you into management, because that is sometimes the thing is, you know, you might be exceptionally good in your job, but exactly that, by pushing you into a management level, it leaves a gaping hole, and then you almost get put on the list to get retrenched because now that cash is actually not coming into the business. And I think that's key to, again, like you say, back yourself, but also have that vulnerability to speak to the management level and say, I'm really good at my job. How do I actually move into a management level to take ownership of a team and actually transfer my skill sets onto a team to make them very successful, make the organization successful? But it's also, you need to understand that that's not going to be an overnight exercise. You know, if you're netting a huge amount of money for the organization, you're a critical part of, you know, if you look at a bicycle, you can't pedal a bicycle without a chain. And, you know, you raise a very good point is also just understanding where you are in that organization. If you're a critical chain, then it's almost opening up a conversation and saying, okay, cool, I realize my role is super critical in the business and I'm making a huge amount of money, but how do I move from that role into something more of management? How do we find my replacement? How do I transfer my skills onto them and then almost lead a team of mini me's to become successful?
Yeah, and I think that's again important there. I guess what you're talking about is also not to just take that view of this is what I want.
Yeah. But
it's working collaboratively with the business to kind of understand what's going to work well for both yourself and for them. They understand where you are, and like again, it comes down to that plan. You know, how do you transition? All those sorts of things. And so there's a plan around how that could all look and work.
Yeah, I think from a leadership perspective, I think they could also just help, you know, like that might be the 3-year plan, but they could then say to you, oh no, listen, we're going to send you on X, Y, and Z because we think that will benefit you from being a leader. So tell us what happened. You obviously just mentioned before we asked for your tips that management wasn't moving anywhere. Now Arno can't see himself being in a management level. What did you move agencies or what was next?
Yes. No, so I was pretty open with them and told them, you know, that I was going to start actively looking, started having discussions with people in my network, that type of thing. And I was very fortunate to be get an introduction to a pretty successful startup. Simon was talking about bicycles just before, you know, something about chains and all the rest of that. But landed the role of global marketing manager for a bicycle rack manufacturer. Based, you know, locally here in Perth, all e-commerce, the business owner had found a lot of success, you know, got, I don't know, the neighbor's daughter that built the websites to build an e-commerce site, got his product on there, which was a really good product, and got people to buy in and then found success and he was looking to take the next steps. And so I kind of met with him again, had a coffee, spoke through what I thought, you know, he should be doing as, you know, in the digital space, specifically being, you know, being e-commerce. It didn't take long and got a call and kind of got the role. What was great about that, sort of started getting some international exposure. Again, yeah, you know, both the East Coast of Australia, they had resellers in Europe. They had a hub in the US, Cincinnati. I was fortunate enough to travel over to the US to trade shows and that. Really, really good experience. The only thing with this one specifically, again, you've got a business owner that's found a lot of success. Sometimes, I guess it can be difficult for somebody to let go. It's something that I've also seen, I guess, as I've worked in different agencies, as they're growing, people have to take on different responsibilities or responsibilities have to be delegated, that sometimes people really struggle with that. And so, you know, as we went down this path again, we kind of got to a decision where he was still so hands-on and making the decisions in what I consider to be, my space or the responsibility that I had within the business, that it was kind of, if you get, you know, if you want to have such a hands-on role, and sort of drive the plan and the strategy around this, I don't think you need a senior person. I think you need a junior person that can do the running for you, you know, mid sort of person that can do the running for you, keep working with the agencies, that sort of thing. But to have a senior person that puts time into planning, strategizing, all this type of thing, but it's not getting things across the line, you know, not having the authority to kind of sign off on things, like that became an issue. And again, it was just an open and honest discussion with somebody. So,
let's just touch on that point quick, because there's a little bit of conflict management there, right? You have now, you're sitting on a senior level, you've got the founder, you're not on a co-founder level, so you don't have that, we can call it skin in the game as this business, but you've now been made global marketing manager, you have the best intentions at heart because you want to get this guy as many sales as possible so he makes more money, but he's not letting you make the decision. So would you just say, it was the conversation easy? Or how can someone approach this? Because we obviously all have conflict management. Yeah. So how, give us some tips on that.
I think my approach from the start was sometimes, you know, it's to try and educate. So often somebody doesn't necessarily want to make a call on something that you're sort of recommending and advising on because they don't actually understand it. Mm. So, you know, trying to have those discussions, I guess, in the best possible way without trying to undermine somebody, I guess, is to find out if they need more information or what else do I need to do to get this across the line or that type of thing. But again, fundamentally, it just comes down to having an honest discussion. I don't think that, you know, anybody should feel that you can't have an honest discussion. If you should never be nervous to put your best foot forward. And again, if there's a misalignment or something like that, obviously we try to work through that. But ultimately, it came down to, you know, he had a path that he wanted to go down. And my recommendations in that were something that he wasn't willing to sort of move forward with or invest in. Let's put it there. Down to that too. Like I said, had a lot of success without having to invest much, but to take it to that next level, there was going to be a cash outlay, and that's kind of where the problem started to sort of come to the surface.
Yeah, no, 100%, and I think that's something that a lot of people battle with. And just something, you know, before we touch on kind of what was next after that, because that's obviously never a great conversation to now go for hire, have an international presence. But one thing that you said, which I think a lot of people don't actually understand, is when you're looking at a new role or a new position or a new job or whatever, is a lot of people just apply and you apply for the position and you hope that someone comes back to you. But I think it's when you actively put a plan in place and you look at the guy's business from the outside and you say, cool, this is what I'm going to do in the business. This is what I'm going to change. This is my plan. This is my strategy. Because at the end of the day, the relation that I pick up a lot of the time with business owners is, as a business owner, your business is your baby. And that's something that you're growing and nurturing. So you understand that as a business owner, you go through a huge amount. And now, like, someone's coming to you and saying, hey, whoa, this, you need to take this thing completely left, but you know you want to go right. And I think that's so critical when you're looking at a new position or a new role to actively be looked at. You need to put a plan in place. Like, tell the person, I'm going to take your baby and this is my plan. I'm going to take it to school. I'm going to take it to after school activities. I'm going to run with it. You know, I'm going to play sports. And this is where I'm going. Because I think the quicker you understand that, you know, if I can put a plan in place on how I'm going to nurture this baby and take it forward, you give the owner a lot more comfort. And I think your trust level is built, you know, very quickly. So, you know, coming off of the conflict management now, you know, what did you do after that? I mean, did you actively look at new roles, or, you know, what was your plan once you realized, like, boom?
Yeah, so I actively looking. Again, a good opportunity came up. Was, you know, interviewed across different roles. Got pretty far down the process of interviewing with a finance company, and then through the discussions with them, interestingly enough, the role that I'd applied for there, I thought, you know, it was something that was quite digitally focused. My wife's career had also just started taking off, so again, I saw maybe as a bit of a step, not step down, but maybe step across in terms of the position within this particular organization. and through the interview process, actually established that you know, they put a sort of a job spec out. You were looking for one type of person, but some of the roles and responsibilities in the job spec were broader than what than just digital. And so the title actually changed through the interview process. you know, and yeah, when I got did get the role, one of the questions which was really interesting with this one, they specifically said that they were looking for somebody that had finance experience. And I quite simply answered that question with, would you rather have somebody with finance experience that isn't a good marketer? Would you rather have a good marketer that can learn about a finance business? And they told me straight up that was pretty much what got me the gig at the end of the day, because it was just, it changed the way that they were thinking about it too. You know, again, coming from an agency background, I think maybe that was something that I lent on quite a bit. You know, talking about working in different industries, different verticals, all that type of thing gave them a level of confidence that I could tackle this. So I joined the business as the national marketing manager. As I joined, they pretty much just completed the acquisition of another business on the East Coast over here, and it was my responsibility to merge the two brands over a 12-month period. 6 months into that process, the business has obviously doubled in size during that time. They decided to implement, to create an executive team, and I was fortunate enough to be promoted to my dream title of Chief Marketing Officer, and get a seat at the table, have a voice, all that sort of thing.
Okay, so was that part of your 10-year plan? To be CMO eventually, client side now, not agency, or is it a bit higher than your plans now?
Yeah, so this actually kind of all happened really quickly for me. So I guess, you know, the agency thing for me was, you know, like I mentioned, 10-year plan, and then, you know, client side, and, you know, you're probably looking at that being another 5 to 10 years in terms of growing and finding a role like that, you know, being in a business, starting with a team, growing, whatever it might be, and then through experience, getting into the role of a CMO. Like I said, this almost caught me off guard in that, you know, suddenly you haven't been here for long. I've delivered a lot during that time. You know, big changes, not major changes, but you know, uplift to the brand. Like I said, the merge of another brand into this brand, and got the promotion, which was really, really good. Again, something I guess that's great to have on your CV. But I guess, I know we kind of, not to link on this role too much, but good experience, you know, fintech business, a lot of technology, big technology team, working with the technology team to kind of roll out, and again, talking about 3-year plans and all of that type of thing. And I need to be hit with COVID sort of this year, was something that I, you know, one, at the start of this journey at this business, was not expecting to be promoted into, you know, this elevated executive role, have a seat at the table, and then suddenly you find yourself you know, in a position where the business is pulling back their marketing spend and that, and my role was made redundant.
Oh goodness. Jeez.
So yeah. Before we touch on that, I just want to ask you, it's going to be one sentence. You've now, obviously, you've made your way, quite a nice career trajectory, if we can call it, but now you're in a leadership, and now this is all happening, you're having to retrench marketing teams. How did you approach that? Because you've obviously had experience with bad leaders, so just give us one line or one sentence that you felt made, maybe you did it well, maybe you didn't do it well, but you as a leader approaching this very difficult situation.
I think the biggest thing, again, is we spoke about sort of transparency earlier. Sometimes, you know, there was one sort of phrase that we used within this previous business, and that was that data tells a story, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what I leant on. You look at some of the roles within my team, you know, where before my redundancy, I unfortunately had to make people redundant. And when you look at the core areas that they are responsible for, you know, when you're not spending in those areas anymore, there's no budget because the budget's been pulled. It kind of becomes a very sort of almost obvious discussion to have, I was very fortunate, I think, too, that I had a really good relationship with my team members. Again, we had very open discussions, and it wasn't just about work-related topics, broad topics sometimes. And I think that's good to kind of almost just as a leader have rapport with your team too, kind of never, you know, open door policy.
Yeah, definitely.
I always try to make time for my team, regardless of what the discussion was. Be there for them regardless of what was happening. Everybody's got stuff going on in their lives. Life, sometimes, you know, it's not all just about work. And I think it was all those sort of things that I've done along the way that made having those discussions with my team a lot easier.
And I think it's that in terms of like the accountability, transparency, and ownership, although it's a really tough situation, and I think a lot of people are finding themselves in a situation where it's just the reality that we're in, and unfortunately, you know, there's not a lot that you can change. But if your business isn't making money, you know, you're kind of stuck in a rock and a hard place, because, you know, do you eat or does someone else in your organization eat and you don't eat? And I think you raise a very good point, is having that open conversation, being transparent, and taking ownership and just saying, like, look, this is the situation, this is where we're at, this is the plan. And, you know, that was something that like really resonated with me with Grant, was although they retrenched all their people, as a leadership team, they took an active interest in all of their team members and are still actively going through the process of saying, guys, we are going to retrench your role, but as part of our commitment to the leadership team, we are actively looking for new job positions for you, and we're not going to stop until we get all of you a job. Whereas, you know, obviously your situation is completely different because, you know, your position was made redundant as well. But I think it really goes on to that being transparent, being open, and just taking ownership and accountability for what's happening.
Hmm.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing that's sort of going on out in the market, whether it's in Australia or South Africa, the US, wherever you are in the world, is, you know, business leaders, stakeholders are thinking about things in a different way.
Hmm.
Some businesses are having to reinvent themselves. You know, where sometimes there might have been two roles to deliver something, you're now looking to find somebody that might have a single skill set that can cover two roles often, and that sort of thing. So that tends to be happening.
So tell us what's happening with Honor now, how long ago were you redundant, what's the plans? I know this episode's been quite long, but we now need to find out where's Honor today and what does it look like for him.
Yeah, it has been a little bit of a long story, but I guess when that happened, I guess we were in the fortunate position too that my wife had just gone back to work after being on maternity leave. I think I mentioned earlier on in one of the episodes that she's a chartered accountant. She works with one of the big mining houses over here, and she's got a really great career and sort of solid stability in her career. And so it was really about flipping a pretty instant switch for us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of going, okay, it's time to, we're going to back that horse. And, you know, as you've heard through the two episodes, I've had quite a journey when it comes to my career. And so we made the decision that I was actually going to spend some quality time with my family. So I've got two young daughters, I've got a one-year-old and a four-year-old. I've pretty much been spending the last 7 or 8 weeks, you know, being the primary caregiver to them first and foremost. And along the way, I've been pretty fortunate, you know, right up front decided I was going to take a three-month break, spend time with the girls, blah, 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 all that sort of thing. Along the way, I've had discussions with different people and opportunities started to present themselves. And so I've set up a small consulting business, and I've been fortunate enough to be working with a global blockchain development consultancy, which has been good. Again, accommodating outside of hours, being able to work at night or in the early morning. They're based in London, and one of the founders is over in California. So it gives me sort of the flexibility to still do that work and then look after the girls during the day. And then there's been a few other opportunities that have sort of sprung up along the line too. And I guess, you know, through discussions with Steve and that sort of thing too, again, you know, there's kind of this opportunities are starting to come along. And again, like I said, the people reinventing their businesses and not always wanting, not necessarily maybe wanting to commit to new positions right now, I've kind of positioned it as a virtual CMO for a virtual marketing manager, where people can tap into my time. I guess that gives them that sort of that plan or that strategy or that structure that they need, and confidence, I guess, to move forward with something without investing in somebody full time.
I think that you touch on such a good point there. With a lot of people and, you know, potentially listeners or, you know, friends or family of listeners that are listening to this episode, it's such a critical thing is that, you know, a lot of us are going to face uncertainty. A lot of people are going through a huge amount of uncertainty at the moment. And, you know, a lot of people are unfortunately getting, you know, the back end of this whole thing, losing jobs, losing income, just sitting kind of nowhere. But I think the important thing is, like you say, you need to turn the negative into a positive. So, you know, you could have lost your job, gone home, cried, sat on the couch, ate pizza, and just moped around. But, you know, exactly like you said, instead of saying that, it's great, I actually get to spend more time with my family. I get to, you know, cherish the little things. And I think the big thing that we also need to realize is when uncertainty or failure or something, you know, charges on, accept it. Think about it, and I think when you reflect on it and almost recharge, like, you need time to process it. And I think that that's where a lot of people are at now is, you know, if you're not spending time processing it, you're not spending time of saying, okay, cool, something bad's happened. And I think, you know, this is kind of the course of what I'm picking up through both of the episodes is you've had a plan, but there's always going to be something which is going to knock you off of your plan. But just realize, okay, cool, I'm off my plan. Take a moment to regather your thoughts, refresh yourself, look at the positive of where your situation is, and once you realize that, I say, okay, cool, I'm refreshed, I'm recharged, I've accepted the situation that's happened, okay, cool, what is my plan now? How do I get back on track? What do I need to do? You know, I know where my plan is going, it's not just bridging where I am to where I'm going, and what do I need to do, you know, kind of in between all of that.
Exactly. And the other thing I'll say there, Simon, is there seems to be such a negative perception around redundancy, the jobs and that type of thing. Like, don't be scared to talk about it. That's all I can say. We're living in really, really strange times. I think people having gaps on their CVs or whatever it might be, it's something that's going to be more sort of accepted. Also, if you can speak through, I guess, what you were doing in that time, or whatever it might be, you know, it might actually be refreshing to somebody that's actually interviewing you down the track or having a discussion with you at some point in time. But yeah, like I said, it all just comes down to back yourself. I've been very fortunate, like I said, that I could take this time off. I know not everybody's got that luxury, right? But the thing is, at least give yourself the time to make the next best decision. That's what I've had in the back of my mind throughout all of this. It's kind of like, don't go jump into something that you're just going to be unhappy with. I've had a lot of those sort of things, as you might have heard, through everything we've spoken about. If you can do anything, just give yourself the time. Be kind to yourself, think it through, and make the next best decision.
Yeah, and I definitely think you briefly touched on it as well, is lean on your support structure. You spoke to, as it happened, you chatted to your wife, and you looked at the plan, and you moved from there. Now, by this stage in the podcast, I'm really thirsty because we're only allowed one beer podcast. So we're going to call it quits there. Arno, I can see your beer's also done. So thanks so much for being on the episode.
Thanks, Steve. I'm drinking Google juice over here, so
good. And I think just one note to obviously all our listeners out there is the whole aim of Business and Beers is, you know, for us to create the support structure to each and every one of our listeners out there. And, you know, if anyone is struggling at this time, needs advice, or just needs that, like, lending hand or something like that, you know, where can our listeners find you, Arno? You know, what platform can they reach you? If the guys just want to have a chat or just unpack a bit more of your experience, or just get that one liner to help them move forward, you know, what's the best platform and where can they find you?
Yeah, I'd say we start with LinkedIn or Twitter, one of those two platforms. So reach out to me there. Like I said, LinkedIn specifically for me was a platform that I could reach out to people before immigrating, as an example, and I found that extremely useful. So if you start there. The other thing I just want to quickly say is side hustles. I don't know if you guys have spoken about that. There's a guy that, you know, I've known when I was in South Africa, and I still have him in contact on LinkedIn. The guy with the name of Nick Harrell-Ambus, don't know if anybody's heard of him, but go and have a look and see if you can find him on LinkedIn. He's giving you a ton of great advice about setting up side hustles and that sort of thing. So if you find yourself in a sticky situation, he might just sort of prompt you to think about it in a slightly different way.
Yeah, thanks so much. We'll have to give Nick a call and hopefully we can get him on an episode soon as well. Thanks so much, Arno. We appreciate the advice and we appreciate you giving up your Friday night to speak to us here in South Africa.
Go put another shrimp on the barbie.
Cheers. Thanks. Cheers. Thanks so much.